Sabbath blessings every week. If you can, please kneel so we can start in prayer. And please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with this holy Sabbath day of rest, and ask that you please allow your Holy Spirit to put his brow on my tongue, and that your truth is uplifted and made known before your people, that we are led more and more closer to the Godhead family, and led more to lift up Jesus throughout our lives and in our walks. We ask that you please bless all the prayers that are in the mind and hearts of your children, and please help us to be able to focus and to be able to understand the truths which were spoken. And please help us. And please help us to be able to help others as well. We thank you for blessing us and hearing our prayers and, of course, answering them all according to your will, which is perfect. And it's with the help of your Holy Spirit we pray for these things. In the name of our Lord and Savior, we pray. Although we are still striving to reach such a lovely character, we still pray in his name. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. I'll let the amens fly into the room before I paste the link into the room that everyone can use to follow along with the verses. I know there's some delay today. That should go directly to it. Alrighty. A straight testimony. We're going to start with Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 2 to 6, which says, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and maketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, the people be not warned. If the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. The work of the watchman is to watch for danger. And when he sees danger coming, he is to sound the warning. He must blow the trumpet. And the lives of all within the city relied upon the faithfulness of this trumpeter. If the watchman fell asleep at his post, or for some other reason failed in sounding the trumpet, even though he knows of the coming danger, then the people, the entire city would be overran, and hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, or even hundreds of thousands of lives would be lost by the fear of this watchman to do his duty. The unfaithfulness of a singular person proved to be of a grave consequence for the entire city. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 and 9, it says, So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man, shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. The prophet Ezekiel was then told that God had made him a watchman unto the people of God. If Ezekiel failed to do his duty for whatever reason, then every soul which was lost was to come upon his account. the loss of numerous souls would be required at his hands. His unfaithfulness would prove a most dreadful curse to himself and all those surrounding him. And if the loss of one soul cannot be rightly estimated, then how terrible is the loss of many souls, all because of the lack of obedience by the watchman. The people of God, although they might not be occupying large of sphere as Ezekiel the prophet did, or any other large name reformers, are likewise held accountable for their failure to sound the trumpet. The people of God are to, as Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1 says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Our voice is to be lifted up as a trumpet, showing people their transgressions, showing people their sins, and alerting them of the soon calamities to come upon them. We are to spare not. Not a single person is to be spared from seeing and hearing the light of Christ. We must speak the plain cutting truths. We must speak a straight testimony. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8, it says, for if the trumpet giveth a certain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? The trumpet must give a certain sound. Now, the trumpet, besides being used for sounding the alarm of war, is also an instrument of music. And in music, there are certain pitches that must be played together to not only to sound good, but to give a distinct kind of feeling. There are a range of pitches that must be played together to give clear expressions of either happiness, sadness, mystery, peacefulness, or even a sense of danger. So then, for example, you could not take a bunch of pitches together which produce a happy feeling if you're trying to produce a sorrowful feeling. You must play the exact pitches necessary to give the feeling that is necessary. And so it is when it comes to sounding the trumpet. The people of God must give the trumpet a certain sound. It must be distinct. That is the only way that the people who hear the truths that we have to speak to them will be prepared. It is not enough to just speak. We must speak the plain, cutting truths to the people. For it is this which will work a deep repentance in the hearts of the hearers. In Testimonies, Volume 1, page 179, paragraph 3. It says, November 20th, 1857, I was shown the people of God and saw them mightily shaken. Some, with strong faith and agonizing cries, were pleading with God. Their countenances were pale and marked with deep anxiety, which are expressive of their internal struggle. Firmness and great earnestness were expressed in their countenances, while large drops of perspiration fell from their foreheads. Now and then their faces would light up with marks of God's approbation. And again, the same solemn, earnest, anxious look would settle upon them. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep before the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among people, where is their God? Going down a bit, a little further, on page 181, paragraph 1, we see, I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen, and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness to the Laodiceans. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver, and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it, and this will cause a shaking among God's people. So the straight testimony called forth by the true witness, by the counsel of the true witness to the Laodiceans, would cause the shaking among the people of God. Let's break that down. Who is this true witness? Of course, this is Jesus, the faithful and true witness. He is the true witness to whom? The Laodiceans. This not only shows that the message to the Laodiceans must then be looked at to understand this counsel, but it also shows that there must be false witnesses to the Laodicean church. And those false witnesses have helped to create and sustain a state of ease among the Laodiceans to the point where they are actually unaware of their own sins. And even so, there are those who are joined together with them, individuals within their ranks who will not stand the straight testimony, of whom it will be revealed that God does not approve of their walks. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. The works of every single child of God, Jesus knows. As a matter of fact, they are being investigated at this very moment. And to these Laodicean Christians, here spoken of in Revelation chapter 3, Christ says to them, thou art neither cold nor hot, thou art lukewarm. The state between the two extremes of hot and cold. And because of this state that they are in, they are to be spewed out of the mouth of Christ. So where can we find an example of what it means to be cold? So that we can gain a deeper understanding of that which is being stated here. If we turn to Matthew chapter 20, verse 12, it says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What about hot? Well, if you turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 14, you see, who gave himself for us, speaking of Christ, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, if you look at the word zealous, Strong's Greek, 22:07. It comes from Charles Greek, number 2206, zealous meaning zealot. But going deeper to the root of that word, you see that this word comes from Strong's Greek number 2205. But the definition of this one means to have warmth for or against. So, following the same pattern, we look at what's the root of that word. Strong's Greek number 2205, which comes from Strong's Greek number 2204, properly heat. That is figuratively zeal in a favorable sense, ardor. Of course, in an unfavorable one, it would refer to jealousy. But the root of all of these words, the very root of all these words, Shong's Greek number 2204, a primary verb which means to be hot, boil, of liquids. So here we have a picture that is painted before us of the truth of the Laodicean state. They're not in a state where they're completely inactive. They're not even in a state where they don't understand the truth. They're not in a state where they are 100% completely lacking in understanding the truth when it comes to loving as Christ loved. They may even put forth minimal efforts to save souls in this fallen world. But they are also not zealous of good works as Christ desires of them. They sit somewhere in the middle, enjoying the privileges of the truth of God, having made some kind of reform in their lives, proving that at one point they have made advancements in their walk. But as God brings other points upon them to bear the test, to bring the test upon them, they stumble, they fall. Because there is some cherished idol upon their hearts and within their hearts that they are holding on to and thus can proceed no further because they have yet to give up their idols. But though they have moved forward somewhat and do better than the nominal churches, they're not ready yet. Their lives are not such that God can use them to boldly proclaim the third angel's message and to boldly proclaim that of the loud cry. In this state that they're in, though they are so severely blessed, they are completely unready for heaven. Let me say that again. Though they have been blessed to a great degree, though they have truths, though they have moved forward, though they have done some work, they're stumbling. They're allowing something to come into their lives which is harming them. And because of some cherished idol or some cherished sin in the hearts of the people, they're completely unready for heaven. They're not ready to have fellowship with pure and holy angels. They're not ready for fellowship with God and with Christ. Says Christ in Revelation chapter 3, verses 18 to 22, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And Testimonies, Volume 1, page 181, paragraph 2. She says, the testimony of a true witness has not been half-heeded. The solemn testimony upon which the testimony of the church hangs has been lightly esteemed, if not entirely disregarded. This testimony must work deep repentance, and all that truly receive it will obey it and be purified. This is not enough that there has been some steps to advance forward, and yet we may fall back and refuse to advance at others. It's not enough for anyone to do such. There's dead formalism in the world. There's not enough brotherly love among those who claim to be brethren. There's not enough selflessness shown. There's too much idleness among the people of God. There are some who are unwilling to endure hardship, make sacrifices, save souls. Hours, days, weeks, months, and even years pass by, wherein some are too absorbed in their own self-interest to labor for the lost. Now there might be some who are like, I know not what to do. But have we not had at our disposal multiple methods to do the work which the Lord has called us to do for years? And he continues to bless us with more. Don't make claims that we are not called out to be some pastor or some teacher or some deacon, etc. For every person is required to move forward in this work and to help this work. Have not souls passed in and out of the lives of some without so much as a warning? Is this not a grand problem to the Laodiceans? The zeal of God's professed people cannot flag. It must continue forward. It must continue into eternity. The works are to continue into eternity. Even if things do not happen as fast as we would like, or even as fast as we would expect, we must continue with the same zeal, with the same love, continuing on and growing and moving forward. Christ says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. In giving the trumpet a certain sound, some might endeavor to speak the words of truth, but speak too roughly, and push away people from the truth by their overly blunt words. Others speak too little, too worried to offend the wicked by the truth. But we must speak and leave the consequences with God. If we would see the eyes of the people opened and their ears opened to the truth, we must be willing to put ourselves in the position where we can receive the latter rain. We must speak as Christ spoke. He spoke the plain, cutting truths, but he was filled with mercy. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6, it says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." And so, when you speak the truth, be filled with mercy as well. Don't be overly severe, but speak the truth. Let the people know what is sin. And allow the sword to cut not only in their lives, but in our lives as well. Because if we want them to be zealous, we have to be zealous ourselves. We must speak the plain truths to the people. You know, sometimes, if you're not speaking the truth that the way that it ought to be spoken, it's better not to speak at all. Speak the plain truth, and don't rise up against the messages of the plain truth. When our brethren rebuke us and point us to better walk on the straight and narrow, we have to accept these things. And we have to be willing to help others as well. This is evidence that we truly care about the brothers and sisters that we say that we care about. When you're willing to rebuke them, when you're willing to speak the truth, when you're willing to plant and water the seeds, even within them, be zealous. Now, some people will hear these truths that are spoken here, and even the truths that are spoken to them, you know, outside of this church family. That is to say, that, you know, speaking to people that are outside of the church family, sharing the truth. Some souls may very well say amen when they hear these things being spoken, and yet fail to realize the very messages spoken of are referring to them. Christ is talking to those very souls. They do not realize. He has already stated they are blind. They say, "I have need of nothing." Is that so? Then why does Christ say of the Laodiceans that they are wretched, that they are miserable, that they are poor, blind, and naked? Again, Christ says to the Laodiceans, "Thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." The message to Laodicea should cause us all to search our hearts, to be sure that we are walking the straight and narrow, that we are not enjoying the privileges of the truth, sitting around doing nothing, or little to nothing, or refusing to advance forward. Because that message will then be referring to us. Because we have chosen not to take heed. Laodicea is the final state in which the world is in. Namely, the people of God. Because the world itself, the fallen churches, they're cold. They cannot be called lukewarm. Lukewarm refers to those who have the truth. Attached to the third angel's message strong arm of the gospel, the health reform. And on these points, we also must be sure we are taking them into account. Not enjoying the privileges of some points of health reform. This includes getting better sleep. Don't ignore it. This includes not eating spices with your foods. This includes not eating the flesh of dead animals. That must be done away with. It must be done away with. No teas, no coffees. Of course, that is not a condemnation against herbal teas, which have zero caffeine. The condemnation against tea comes from that specific point. To those who are living mainly sedentary lifestyles, are we taking physical exercise? Are we getting enough sunlight? How seriously are we taking the truths which have been presented before us? And how willing are we to live according to the things presented before us? And when we live them, and we are living them, then we can take it to others. Because that godly example that will be shown by people being obedient will help cut the hearts of people that are in Laodicea. People that are in such a lukewarm state. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, Therefore, ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do must be to the glory of God. Everything we do. It all must be done to the glory of God. Don't misunderstand this text. It's not saying that your mind must be constantly wrought upon religious themes forever. There are things of a temporal nature which must be attended to. And yet, there still you can bring Jesus. There still you can manifest patience, love, gentleness, peace. There still you can represent the character of Jesus himself. But in everything that you do, it is to be done to the glory of God. Is God glorified by idleness? Certainly not. Picture in your mind the early church, how zealous they were, the things they did to go forward and to preach and share the truth. Fix it in your mind. And then understand that the people of God today are supposed to be blessed with the latter rain. More of a portion than those early churches. And yet we should ask ourselves, do we even in works measure up to that which was done by the early church? Are we as zealous? Are we as faithful? Are we as determined? Or has the times made it for us so that we are at ease? We have worse to deal with today than they did. Sin is at the click of a button. It is very easy today, with all that surrounds us, to be idle. It is very easy today to be tempted by these dishes that the world makes. It's very easy for us to fall into these things. But we have hope in Christ. Because he gives us his strength. So that we can overcome. And we will overcome if we truly desire to overcome. There's no maybe. You will. Period. You will. The only people who will not overcome are the people who choose not to overcome. How serious are we taking our walks? You know, sometimes when I'm speaking with people about the Sabbath, and they view the Sabbath as a small thing, the Lord leads me to say this. If you view the Sabbath as small, not that we do, but understand where I'm coming from with this. If you view the Sabbath as a small thing, and yet you are not even willing to obey God in those things which you consider small, it shows the state you are in. We must do everything that God has commanded us to do. Every thought must be subject unto Christ. And that we cannot do of ourselves. We must go to Christ to be able to do that. All our works must be done to the glory of God. And in that, we cannot do it of ourselves. We must go to Christ. We must become earnest, zealous workers for the cause of God. In Testimonies 1, 8, page 297, paragraph 5. The Lord calls for a renewal of the straight testimony born in years past. He calls for a renewal of spiritual life. The spiritual energies of his people have long been torpid, but there is to be a resurrection from apparent death. And on the same page and following paragraph, by prayer and confession of sin, we must clear the king's highway. As we do this, the power of the Spirit will come to us. We need the Pentecostal energy, and no, not that which is of the world. Think about the works and the acts that were done by the early church. Measure up and strive to go further. But she says, we need the Pentecostal energy. This will come. The Lord has promised to send his Spirit as the all-conquering power. So, we could say, and we can look at this and know, wait, we know, especially with all that's going on around this world, it's time to get serious, but I think we need to look past that, even that idea. It's time to make up for lost time. For many of us have not been as serious and as zealous as we should have been all along. Many haven't clung to the health message as strong as we should have. Many have not made the most of their opportunities as they should have to share the truth. We have not presented ourselves to the Lord to do everything that he would have us do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Perfection is what we strive unto. The hearts must be perfectly submitted unto God. It doesn't mean that we're not going to end up making mistakes at times. That's going to happen. But to be perfect and have our hearts in perfect submission to God. There will come at some point where you overcome all. And Satan will not be able to pull you away to commit sin ever again. That is to happen. And we must believe that that is to happen. Imagine standing without fault before the throne of God. It's not because we are so great, but it's because God is great. And because of the strength that Christ has given us. Because we represent Him. If we're representing Him, and we're doing our best, He's not going to let us fail. His name will be glorified among the heathen. His name will be glorified among the people who claim to be His followers. Testimonies, Volume 8, page 298, paragraph 1. Perilous times are before us. Everyone who has a knowledge of the truth should awake and place himself, body, soul, and spirit, under the discipline of God. The enemy is on our track. He is. He's going to do anything he can to tear and have God's remnant. Therefore, what must we do? Continuing, she says, we must be wide awake, on our guard against him. We must put on the whole armor of God. We must follow the directions given through the spirit of prophecy. We must love and obey the truth for this time. This will save us from accepting strong delusions. God has spoken to us through His Word. He has spoken to us through the testimonies to the church and to the books that have helped to make plain our present duty and position that we should now occupy. The warnings that have been given, line upon line, precept upon precept, should be heeded. If we disregard them, what excuse can we offer? Same page. Next paragraph. I beseech those who are laboring for God not to accept the spurious for the genuine. Let not human reason be placed where divine sanctifying truth should be. Christ is waiting to kindle faith and love in the hearts of His people. Let not erroneous theories receive countenance for the people who ought to be standing firm on the platform of eternal truth. God calls us to hold firmly to the fundamental principles that are based upon unquestionable authority. Considering the fact that there are so many winds of doctrine that are going about in this world, and there are people that have left this number who are so close to us, they're so close in faith, so close in understanding. We won't know except by the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit how to stay away from these false theories and these false ideologies. But as close as they are, you'll notice that some begin to pluck up the very foundation. You know, thinking about when it comes to the message of Elijah, turning the hearts of the children to the fathers. And we look at the spiritual forefathers and the truth which were laid down by them. Don't misunderstand me. It doesn't mean that they couldn't have, at some point, you know, needed a better understanding. Because we can see them even amongst themselves arguing about certain things. But we know that the platform of eternal truth has been laid for us. And to uplift those things for our own personal interpretations, will we not be destroyed? We have to stand firm. We have to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And we have to teach others to prepare as well. It's not enough just to do work for ourselves. We have to do work on others as well. And we have to manifest that same patient, loving Christ-likeness. That love that Christ showed, we have to do the same thing. That zeal that we saw, Christ working as much as he did, and that his early church understanding, we have to do the same. We are striving. We're moving forward. We're taking steps in our walks. We should be. But if we have allowed ourselves to be turned away from Christ, if we have allowed ourselves to have some cherished idol in our lives, we must cast it aside. Lest, as Christ says, first, you are of Laodicea. Second, he will spew you out of his mouth. All sin must be put away. Wicked thoughts against brothers and sisters must be put away. Impatience must be put away. We have to make sure our hearts are such that they're not even desirous to commit sin. We might not go out there and commit it, but we can't even allow it to be within our hearts. We must have an eye single to the glory of God. No covetousness. No murder. No thefts, lies, fiction, put it away. Don't allow it to take you in. Friendship with the world, destroy it. Don't be deceived by worldlings, by being friends with the world, or even making marriages with the world. Don't bring yourself in positions where you feel as if you're forced to live together before being married. I am unsure if the last thing was heard because it said presenters offline. But yes, we must keep all of God's commandments. Do not be deceived. Don't let Satan deceive you. Any other sin that you have popping up in your mind that you know you have to get rid of, put it away. Listen to the words and the warnings of your brethren. Listen to the words and the warnings of the scriptures. Listen to that which is proclaimed in God's holy word. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5, it says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 and 44,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Will this be us? Will we be obedient? Will we strive to be part of that number? Or will we take part of Laodicea and, refusing to repent and refusing to step forward, be spewed out of his mouth? With that, I'll say Sabbath blessings. I will drop the mic for the next song. God bless.
Test. Okay, it's back. No clues to what's going on here. The Turbo server, which is a physical server, it's not software, has been shutting down on my computer. And then I noticed about 3 to 4, but everybody else can stay in the room, like Sean and everybody. He was still talking, and he finished the sermon and stuff. And about 4 or 5 minutes after I crashed out, he did, and everybody else did. Oh, is it doing it again? Hold on. Families, well, not everybody stuck around, but a lot of people are on WTPR. So please, if you can kneel, please do so, and please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with this time together with you and with each other. Thank you for letting everything work through the church service okay and last night. And then directly before prayer was to be offered, it just stopped. And so, but thank you for helping me figure this out so that we don't lose church service next week. And thank you, Father God, for blessing us with these, you know, with the studies and the sermon and everything, all the seeds, all the showbread we need for this Sabbath. And please bless this coming week as well. And give us many opportunities to share our faith so that we won't become lukewarm. And, you know, it's just so many people are claiming Christ Lord and are not doing anything to share their faith. That's not Christianity. And so please bless us all, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.